from ABC News, World News This Week. I'm Chuck Severson in New York. Coming up,
my nephew's blood is on your head!
Calls for justice after police shootings. Wrapping up the Derek Chauvin trial.
Next step for you is to listen to closing arguments and then retire for deliberations.
Another mass shooting. Another community torn apart.
Who in the world would do some stuff like that? I mean, there's enough shootings going on in this world, but we don't need this.
A vaccine pause based on a one in a million risk.
I think we need to not vote and gather the necessary information.
And farewell to a relic of the internet.
How do I turn off caps lock?
The people and events that made headlines when World News This Week continues.
My nephew's blood is on your head!
Heartbroken family members in the Midwest screaming for justice this week after two youngsters are killed during encounters with police. In Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, 20-year-old Dante Wright was shot and killed when he was pulled over. Police say Officer Kim Potter fired her gun but meant to use her taser. Dante's aunt, Naisha Wright, says the family will never be the same. More from ABC's Stephanie Ramos on Potter's court appearance.
The parents of Dante Wright watching as the former police officer who allegedly mistook her gun for a taser, killing their son, appeared for her first court hearing.
It's very hurtful to see she's just sitting there.
The news media not allowed to record the feed. Kim Potter now facing a single charge of second-degree manslaughter, only responding yes to the judge's questions over Zoom. The Wright family describing their anguish.
How did that feel to see her?
It hurt really bad. I have hatred, anger, sadness. There's so many emotions.
Potter, who resigned this week after 26 years on the Brooklyn Center Force, released from jail after posting a $100,000 bond. The criminal complaint alleging that while trying to arrest Wright for an outstanding warrant after a traffic stop, Potter fired her gun instead of deploying her taser, hitting the 20-year-old once. This isn't the first time a police officer has allegedly mistaken their gun for a taser. Since 2001, there have been at least 13 similar instances. Only two convictions resulted from those cases.
The shooting leading to protests and calls for accountability. ABC's Alex Stone was in Brooklyn Center this week, where the crowd clashed with police, and has more on what transpired Thursday.
The sheriff's office has declared this assembly unlawful.
Another night here of hundreds of people going up against police, throwing bottles and fireworks into the police line. Officers moved in with force at curfew, quickly making their way through the crowd, arresting those who refused to leave. The crowd smaller than half as many arrests as Tuesday night, this time 24.
Also this week, fallout after body camera footage showed a 13-year-old boy shot by police in Chicago. Police say the teen had a gun. ABC's Victor Akendo has more on the footage and on the emotional reaction from Chicago's mayor.
Protesters marching down the streets of Chicago, outraged over the killing of 13-year-old Adam Toledo by Chicago police. This is the newly released body cam video from the night the seventh grader was shot and killed.
Please stop! Stop right now!
That voice is 34-year-old officer Eric Stillman chasing Toledo down an alleyway and firing a single shot. Footage showing Toledo with his hands up when he was killed. It happened late last month. Officers responding to reports of shots fired.
Chicago Emergency, Travis.
Hi, I just heard gunshots.
But how many shots did you hear?
A lot, more than five.
When Officer Stillman spotted Toledo and 21-year-old Ruben Roman, they took off running. Roman was knocked to the ground. Stillman runs after Toledo. Police say he allegedly had a gun. This all happened in just seconds.
Show me your ass! Stop it!
The officer immediately tries rendering aid, but Toledo is unresponsive and bleeding from his chest. Police say the gun was found next to a fence, but the family points to this video, appearing to show Toledo's hands empty as he raised them. Officer Stillman has been placed on administrative duties while under investigation by Chicago's Civilian Office of Police Accountability. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot holding back tears as she urged the city for calm.
Watching these young people who are beautiful and magnificent, but traumatized by the violence that they experience every day. every day. We've got to do things differently.
And just miles away from the shooting of Dante Wright in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, the trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin wrapping up this week. Chauvin facing second and third degree murder charges and a manslaughter charge in the death of George Floyd. Judge Peter Cahill releasing the jury ahead of closing arguments.
Members of the jury, the evidence is now complete for this case. Next step for you is to listen to closing arguments and then retire for deliberations. That'll occur on Monday.
ABC's Alex Perez has more on the end of testimony and Chauvin's decision not to testify.
Former police officer Derek Chauvin speaking in court, declaring he won't testify in his own defense, telling his lawyer and the judge he was invoking his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination.
I have repeatedly advised you that this is your decision and your decision alone, right?
Correct.
We have gone back and forth on the matter. It would be kind of an understatement, right?
Yes, it is.
Have you made a decision whether you intend to testify or whether you intend to invoke your Fifth Amendment privilege?
I will invoke my Fifth Amendment privilege.
Chauvin's lawyer then resting his case, but the prosecution wasn't finished. They called a rebuttal witness to challenge the new defense theory that George Floyd's death may have been caused in part by inhaling carbon monoxide from the tailpipe of the police vehicle.
It's simply wrong.
Dr. Martin Tobin, an expert on lung function and breathing, who previously testified for the prosecution, returning to the stand, he told the jury carbon monoxide levels in Floyd's blood were normal.
And it was at most 2%.
At most 2%.
Normal.
Which is normal.
And ABC's Mark Remillard has a recap of how much testimony the jury heard.
Jurors heard from 44 witnesses in total over 14 days. The vast majority of those witnesses were for the prosecution, with 37 called, from eyewitnesses to the encounter between police and George Floyd to use of force and medical experts. The defense began their case on Tuesday and called a total of 7 witnesses.
ABC News Chief Legal Analyst Dan Abrams with Shauna Lloyd, managing partner at the Cochran firm, breaking down the legal strategies to ABC's Cecilia Vega.
The problem for Derek Chauvin in taking the witness stand is he would have had to explain not just why he put his knee onto George Floyd, but why he had it there in minute 7 and minute 8, etc. And I think that there just weren't good enough answers for that to allow him to take the witness stand. Now, look, I've seen in other cases police officers take the witness stand, and it's helped them in explaining the context, what they were thinking, what they were feeling. But in this case, I don't think that was ever really a subject for debate.
Okay, Shauna, both sides have now rested pretty striking in the number of witnesses that were called. How'd the defense do?
I think the defense attempted to find areas of reasonable doubt. Other causes of death that were not directly caused by Chauvin's knee on his neck. They tried to do that and show that with the drug use. They tried to show that with the carbon monoxide. They tried to show that with a few other things. The prosecution had a bigger and higher level of burden, so that's why they were required to put on the case that you saw. They had to ensure that there was no area for reasonable doubt.
And Dan, now we're looking ahead to these closing arguments. What do you expect to see there?
I think in the prosecution, you're going to see them come back to that video. They're going to talk about how these expert witnesses are really there to back up what you saw, what clearly must have happened. And I think that's going to be the heart of the prosecution. From the defense, I think Sean is right that you're going to see, again, them come back to reasonable doubt. Say, remember, they've got to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that he was a substantial cause of death. And look at these other possibilities.
Who in the world would do some stuff like that? I mean, there's enough shootings going on in this world, and we don't need this. For what?
That's Sheila Battle, who says her grandson works at a FedEx facility in Indianapolis, the scene this week of yet another mass shooting. 8 people died, the suspected shooter turning the gun on himself. More from ABC's Jim Ryan.
The FedEx Ground Plainfield Operations Center is one of the larger, busier facilities that FedEx operates. Even at 11 o'clock at night, people were outside the building when a man pulled up and got out of his car with a rifle.
There was no confrontation with anyone that was there. There was no disturbance. There was no argument. He just appeared to randomly start shooting. And then he did go into the building.
Deputy Indianapolis Police Chief Craig McCart says it was over in a few minutes, with the dead lying inside and outside the building, other workers scrambling for cover. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
ABC News has learned that the suspected gunman was a former employee at that facility. In the fight against COVID this week, a setback in vaccine options. States and territories pausing use of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine after the CDC and FDA put out a recommendation to do so. The pause linked to 6 reports of blood clots, but it's not clear if the vaccine was the direct cause. A CDC vaccine advisory panel met this week to discuss it, but didn't come to a conclusion. Here's Dr. Beth Bell, a global health professional at the University of Washington, speaking during the panel.
I think we need to not vote and gather the necessary information so that we can make an evidence-based decision.
More from ABC's Steve Osunsami.
The scientists are looking for any link between the 6 women who got sick, and they're investigating whether the blood clots were an immune response. All 6 women were between 18 and 48 years old. They got sick within 2 weeks of getting vaccinated. Some of the clots formed in veins of the sinus and prevented blood from draining out of the brain.
And even though one woman died, health officials say the odds are very low. Roughly 7 million Johnson & Johnson vaccines have been administered in the U.S. President Biden also assuring the public that there is enough supply of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines to keep up the pace.
President Biden Tuesday in the Oval Office expressing confidence that the U.S. will have enough vaccine supply despite the pause in distribution of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
I made sure we have 600 million doses of the mRNA, not of either Johnson & Johnson and or AstraZeneca. So there's enough vaccine that is basically 100% unquestionable for every single solitary American.
But the president did not comment when asked how to address vaccine hesitancy among some Americans. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
Dr. Ashish Jha, dean of the Brown University School of Public Health, talks to ABC's David Muir and says the pause was the right decision.
These are very, very rare events. I mean, if you think about it, one person has died after months of vaccinations. 1,000 people are dying almost every day from the disease itself. So there is no question these vaccines are very safe and effective. But out of an abundance of caution, the FDA did put the pause in. I agree with it. It shows that the system is working. And I expect us to be able to get back to vaccinating people on a regular basis with this vaccine.
The FDA says if you've had this vaccine in the last 3 weeks and you've had these symptoms, severe headaches, abdominal pain, shortness of breath, they say call your doctor. But again, this could be tricky to navigate for people when you hear about headaches, for example. So help folks at home here. What are we talking about?
Yeah, so what we know from this is that, again, the 6 cases, the 1 in a million, these are really severe headaches. These are not mild headaches that people can get on a regular basis. If you have anything that's truly out of the abnormal, severe headaches, severe abdominal pain, it would be wise under any circumstances to call your doctor, but particularly if you've had the J&J vaccine in the last 3 weeks.
This after tense congressional testimony regarding COVID. ABC's Sherry Preston has a recap and reports on what officials are saying about vaccine effectiveness.
On Capitol Hill, there was a tense exchange between Congressman Jim Jordan and Dr. Anthony Fauci, the Ohio Republican, asking the nation's top infectious disease expert when Americans can stop social distancing and stop wearing masks.
When do Americans get their freedom back?
When we get the level of infection in this country low enough that it is not a really high threat.
What is low enough? Give me a number.
Right now, we have about 60,000 infections a day, which is a very large risk for a surge. We're not talking about liberties. We're talking about a pandemic that has killed 560,000 Americans.
It got so nasty at one point, the chairwoman of the committee holding the hearing, Congresswoman Maxine Waters, had to shut it down.
You're making this a personal thing, and it isn't.
It's not a personal thing.
No, you are. That is exactly what you're doing.
No, your recommendations carry a lot of weight, Dr. Fauci. We just had the chair of the Financial Services Committee said she loves you, and you're the greatest thing in the world.
My recommendations are not a personal recommendation. It's based on the CDC guidance.
And the American people want Dr. Fauci to answer the question. What does it have to be?
Expire, sir. If you need to respect the chair and shut your mouth.
Now, this comes as new data shows how effective vaccines really are. The CDC says out of 66 million Americans who have been given the shots, only 5,800 people have developed COVID, far less than 1%. The CEO of Pfizer also said this week that those who got that shot may need a booster in a year and possibly every year.
It's possible the immunity we got from the original shot
is going to wane or it's going to dissipate. But then it's also possible that the virus may mutate enough to the point where there'll need to be a booster that's primed for the new variant.
This all comes as some states are again struggling with another wave. In Michigan, outside triage units are once again being set up, and two dozen of the state's hospitals are now at 90% capacity. The CDC, by the way, says it'll be safe to put this behind us and put the masks away when the country records 10,000 new cases per day.
The U.S. this week issuing sanctions against Russia, Moscow responding by expelling 10 U.S. diplomats, among other actions. More from ABC News senior White House correspondent Mary Bruce.
The U.S. imposing sanctions on dozens of entities and individuals and expelling 10 Russian diplomats from Washington. Biden says the response is in kind, but is warning he could do more.
I chose to be proportionate. We want a stable, predictable relationship.
The U.S. is also ratcheting up the pressure on Russia's continued occupation of Crimea, and reports Russia offered bounties to militants in Afghanistan to kill American troops.
Congressional Democrats introduced a proposal that would expand the number of Supreme Court justices, but there are no plans to bring it for a vote. More from ABC's Elizabeth Schulze.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is pouring cold water on new legislation from Democratic lawmakers seeking to expand the number of justices on the Supreme Court from 9 to 13. Pelosi says she has no plans to bring the bill to the House floor for a vote.
I support the president's commission to study such a proposal.
One of the bill's sponsors, Congressman Mondaire Jones, says he's not surprised by the speaker's comments.
We haven't been able to have conversations with all of our colleagues to get the support required to pass the bill.
Elizabeth Schulze, ABC News, Washington.
Word this week that convicted Ponzi scheme kingpin Bernie Madoff died in prison.
Bernie Madoff had been on dialysis before he died in federal prison and had said he was terminally ill in an application last year for early release after serving 11 years for running the biggest Ponzi scheme ever. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio called Madoff's scheme a very sad episode in the city's history.
The day someone passes is not a time to dance on a grave, but let's just be honest. Many, many people were hurt by his actions.
Madoff's fraud spanned the world and totaled more than $17 billion in losses before he confessed to his sons that his business and his life had been one big lie. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
The British royal family saying goodbye to Prince Philip this week. Prince Harry paying his respects, but royal experts say tensions between him and his brother, Prince William, could still be raw. The brothers walking separately during the funeral procession. ABC News royal contributor Victoria Murphy on what it could mean.
Even though there are explanations as to why the three grandsons are walking in the way that they are, I still think it's hard not to read into it as a sign of the fractured relationship between William and Harry.
Coming up,
how do I turn off caps lock?
A corner of the internet goes away when World News This Week continues.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon slash spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an eight-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
If you had questions, this was one place you could go to get answers. Yahoo Answers, a forum that harkened back to the earlier days online, going away, the way of the dial-up modem. ABC's Mike Dubusky reports for our show Perspective on how it got started and on some of the more interesting questions people asked there.
First created back in 2005, Yahoo Answers is a message board for people to post questions and then ideally get answers from anyone on the internet willing to help. If you want to know the pros and cons of ready-mix concrete, head over to Yahoo Answers' Home and Garden section. Curious about how to remove your car's battery? Someone in the automotive section can help you out with that. But unlike posting questions to a Facebook group or starting a poll on Twitter, Yahoo Answers was almost completely unregulated. Anyone could anonymously post whatever they had on their minds. And some people who posted to Yahoo Answers had a lot on their minds.
Do you think NASA invented thunderstorms to cover up the sound of space battles? The top answer is, we think that you should go see a doctor.
That's internet culture reporter Ryan Broderick. Other examples of questions that showed up on Yahoo Answers ranged from the historical,
did dragons live before, during, or after dinosaurs,
to the culinary,
should spaghetti be way shorter?
They weren't afraid to get esoteric either.
If I eat myself, would I become twice as big, or would I disappear completely?
Or turn to the platform for tech support.
How do I turn off caps lock?
And then this?
I don't think I've ever seen a toucan.
Less of a question there, more of an observation. Regardless, the comical Q&As were so pervasive on Yahoo Answers that they gave rise to a cottage industry of podcasts and YouTube series that celebrated the most outlandish posts.
It has spawned some of my favorite dramatic readings on YouTube.
It's by Yahoo Answers user Good Time Charlie, who asks, how long should I sit on the loo to chase these Tuesday blues away?
This is one of those podcasts that took advantage of the quirkiness of Yahoo Answers.
Our advice should never be followed as a big part of the show.
Travis McElroy is one of the three McElroy brothers. The others are Justin and Griffin. Together, they host a comedy advice podcast called My Brother, and Me. Every episode, they spotlight some of the strangest Yahoo Answers they can find, and they found a lot. He says one of the things that keeps them coming back to Yahoo Answers is that the questioners, in many cases, genuinely want an answer. And he and his brothers have made an effort to respond in a way that matches that sincerity.
At least our favorite kind of Yahoo Answers questions are the ones where, no matter how wild the subject matter is, there is clearly a like deep sense of sincerity. Like, the person really wants to know the answer to that. And so I think one of the things that kind of clicked for us very early on is like, well, it's really easy to just sit there and make fun of this, but I think it's even more fun to try to think of an answer that might help them.
Earlier this month, in a decision that several Twitter users compared to the burning of the Library of Alexandria, Yahoo announced that it would be shutting down Answers, thus deleting the platform's entire backlog. The last day to post questions and answers is this Tuesday, April 20th, before it's deleted altogether on May the 4th. Yahoo says the platform has been declining in popularity in recent years. Here's Broderick.
Yahoo has sort of made a habit of doing this, you know, inventing these things that become part of the way we think of the internet. And then when they don't make money, they disappear them.
But even if the platform doesn't make financial sense to the company anymore, he says the mark it leaves on internet culture is unquestionable.
We need these weird memes and quirky things because that's what makes the internet a fun place, and it's going to be sad when it disappears, I think.
And those are the people and events that made World News This Week. World News This Week was written and produced by Joy Piazza. I'm Chuck Sievertson, ABC News, New York.